Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Yo, we're back with another edition of K100 Sports. Boom.
Cody, you want to start it off? You've been watching. I started watching the baseball classic when you told me about it. And I saw that was an unbelievable. Those 2 days where the Japanese guys. Did you listen to the crowds were unbelievably electric. It was like playoff baseball. And so the Japanese had a walk off. Otani walked off on a. The night before, and then they came back the next. Oh, and the United States beat Cuba. Were you happy about that, Conan? United States beating Cuba?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then they beat Venezuela with Acuna. Then they, and then Japan. You know, Otani striking out Trout. It was like an iconic real look. Like two of the best ball players in the world that would never play against each other, unless it's this situation because they play on the same team. And he struck them out. What did you think about that, Conan?
Yeah, that was incredible. You know, there were some great games. I mean, the Dominican Republic was stacked, Cuba was stacked, Japan, the United States, and then out of nowhere, Mexico starts beating everybody, and they almost beat Japan.
Yeah, they went to the ninth inning ahead. So yeah. I was like, yeah.
But that was an incredible. And then of course we got Edwin Diaz jumping up, bro. What a What an ambiance and what a flavor the Latino fans gave to that World Baseball Classic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was pretty, it was cool.
If real baseball was like our baseball, it would be so, so much more exciting. Yeah.
And the huge ratings too worldwide.
Yeah.
Like the numbers like around the world were great for this. So
yeah. And that was great. Imagine that Ohtani was picked the MVP. Then they got another guy there that he's going to the Red Sox. And then they got another guy who throws 102 miles an hour. I mean, Japan's got a squad. But yeah, really good baseball classic, some really exciting games. And I think the next one's in 3 years.
Yep. So.
Okay, then UFC, what do you think of it?
What do you think of UFC, Billy?
Yeah, I was disappointed in Usman's performance. I didn't think he lost the fight. I don't think he won the fight either. I had it as a draw just before, you know, we say that, before you guys say he definitely didn't do enough to win. He didn't. But also, when you have a point deduction, that means that Leon Edwards needed to win four rounds in that fight, and he didn't win four rounds in that fight. When you're at home, the crowd will cheer check kicks and blocks and everything that you do. But in terms of like the actual stats, in terms of like, this is the first fight I've ever watched where a takedown didn't mean fuck all, because a takedown is a very like relevant scoring maneuver. And usually if you can score one takedown and the other guy doesn't have any, he needs to score significant damage to erase the takedown. That's not how this fight was scored. This fight was scored because it was in London and the London crowd cheered for everything that Edwards did. And that's how he got the fight. But the criticism has to go towards Usman. You cannot come to a foreign country and as the challenger and fight the way that you fought. Now, I don't know where he goes from here. He's saying that he'll bounce back and do whatever. He's well out of the picture. Like Edwards is now looking at three potential fights. The big money fight is Connor, but Connor needs to get past Chandler. And I'm not sure that he will. I saw him in an interview today. He looks fucking huge. He looks like a different person. Looks like Conor McGregor's older, more steroided up brother. And then the other two options is Masvidal and Colby. And nobody has a claim here. Conor hasn't fought for years. And even if he gets one win, doesn't make him a contender. Masvidal got destroyed by Usman, even if he wins his next fight.
And he got destroyed by Colby. He got destroyed by Colby.
Colby's had loads of time off too. But this is the direction they're going to go in. It's going to be one of those three, because that's going to be the money fight. And I don't think Edwards is going to take a fight that's not a money fight at this point. So,
what did you think, Conan?
Yeah, I just thought that I really thought Usman was going to beat him, you know, and the crowd was amped, and I thought, you know, Usman attempted to pressure Edwards, but you know, the guy was hitting him with body kicks. He was boxing, good takedown defense, and as Billy said, he didn't do enough to win the championship.
Well, I saw Masvidal and Rogan were on Masvidal did Rogan's podcast, I think yesterday or maybe the day before. But they made a good, you know, everybody I've heard has made a good point. It's like everybody agrees that Usman did not take enough time off after getting knocked out. He said fighters need like a considerable amount of time after getting knocked out, you know, because if you come back, like you just got to be completely clear-headed from the previous knockout. Because what happens is, and he says, what might have happened with Usman is that when you've been knocked out before and it hadn't been too long and you start getting touched a little bit and like, you know, bro, you start getting gun shy. And you just like, you know, you can see it like, you know, Leon was kicking him in the legs, kind of slowing him down. And just, you know, I just think that is the plausible explanation. What happened is Usman just was gun shy because he was afraid to get knocked out because he never unloaded on him. Couldn't take him down. Couldn't keep him down. You know, it's just he'll come back, but like even right now what you got to do now, he's got to fight Rakhmanov or Chimaev or one of these guys that's, you know, like Bilal Muhammad, he might have to fight, you know, because what you do is when you lose and like you're in that spot where you've lost, now the guys behind you in the rankings, you have to give them fights. So that's where Usman's spot's going to be right now, having to give the guys behind him in the rankings fights, because that's how it works. So I don't know.
And then the Gaethje, which I thought Fiziev was going to beat him.
Why?
I just thought, you know, he was younger. He was kind of like on a roll, and I thought that his leg kicks was going to be the difference. But to tell you the truth, Gaethje had better leg kicks. What a brawl. What a war. That was a great fight.
Yeah, I thought that it was too much of a step up in class for Fiziev. Gaethje's fought too many A-list fighters.
Yeah,
and was Fiziev's first A-list fight he's fought. And the other guy had more experience, and I just think Fiziev will come back, but like because he's fought one of these guys now and knows it's like Chandler. You know, Chandler's not going to beat these A-list fighters. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I don't know. It's just
I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch.
I wouldn't either. So what's happened with Usyk and Fury? I've read that fight's off. Whose fault is it?
Yeah, it's off and. Sorry, different thing to record on today. The fight's off, and it's like it's just the situation that we're at now in boxing. I don't think Fury wanted this fight. I don't think Usyk really did either. I don't think anybody wanted it in Wembley Stadium, which is crazy to say, but this is the situation that we're in now because there's lots of reasons I think Fury didn't want it. For Usyk, I think he wanted to fight in Saudi Arabia where they're paying more. This is what Saudi money's done. The first problem in boxing was pay-per-view because pay-per-view has changed everything from the day when, correct me if I'm wrong, were they called the Fabulous Four? When you're looking at, like you guys are older, so I'm trying to, let me look at my notes and see what they were called.
Fabulous Sugar Four. Ray, Sugar Ray Hearns.
Yeah.
Hearns, Leonard.
Nomas, Duran.
Hearns, Leonard, Duran, and...
It's Sugar Ray, Duran, Thomas Hearns, and Hagler.
Marvin Hagler, yeah.
Okay, so these guys at their peak, they all fought each other, and they fought between them nine fights that they had, and that was before pay-per-view came along. Then we had pay-per-view, and suddenly we had this whole hesitation and negotiation and A-side, B-side, and now we have Saudi in the mix. And it's become virtually impossible to do a fight. For Anthony Joshua, he wanted 70-30. For Usyk, that was taking 30% of a fight that now ended up paying him less to fight Anthony Joshua. For Tyson Fury, he wanted 70-30, and Usyk was getting 30%. And that was less than he got for fighting Anthony Joshua in a bigger fight. For Tyson Fury, I think he also wanted Saudi as well. And also, I think he's intrigued by the fact that AJ's announced his comeback. If AJ wins in April, Tyson Fury knows that that's an easier fight and a bigger fight as well. That's a stadium fight, an all-British clash, record numbers on pay-per-view, and a guy that he can easily beat. And the same thing with fighting Francis Ngannou. Tyson Fury has two massive fights that he will easily win without risking it all for less money against Usyk. And Usyk's dangerous. Like, Tyson Fury can sit out there and use his range to jab him out, but he's never fought anybody that's a better boxer than him. And if Usyk gets in the inside and finds a way in, he'll be able to like win rounds. And I think he's decided, why take the risk? There's more money fights out there. Tyson Fury's not a coward, like overall. Like he's taken on Wilder tells you you're not a coward. But I believe that he is, let's say not a coward. He's being very conservative and careful now because this is a very losable fight. And I think that he's avoiding it. And I don't think Usyk has any problem avoiding it either. The problem is that once Usyk gets past Daniel Dubois and he does fight Deontay Wilder, Usyk is tailor-made for Wilder to beat him because Usyk can go in there, win rounds. Wilder's happy to lose rounds. Usyk will do less damage than Fury when he's losing those rounds. And he can sit in the pocket for 36 minutes and just land one fucking punch. The scorecards can be 10-0 Usyk, but Wilder can land a punch. It's a bad fight for Usyk to take. And if that happens, we then have no Usyk Fury. We have Fury winning against Francis Ngannou, which is a pointless fight, and winning against Anthony Joshua. And then we come back to Wilder and Fury as the top two in a division. Pete, two guys that have fought three times. This division is a mess. Like every division in boxing is a mess. There's only two guys that have got the balls to have a fight, and that the one that the fight is happening. And that's it. Like they're the only two guys, the top guys that are fighting each other.
Who?
We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. It popped out of my head.
Oh, Garcia and what's his name?
Yeah,
Garcia and Gervonta Davis. Yeah,
Gervonta. Yeah, sorry, Gervonta, the Mayweather's boy. Gervonta.
Yeah,
that's next month.
Conan,
what up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple of weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it, feels great. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep, good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show, yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with Recover PM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition or boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cody, you got a comment on that? What do you think about this?
No, I just know that Fury went off on him, bro, and he was just on this Usyk guy. It's the word, he used this word a couple times I'd never really heard. Is this an insult in London, or is this a Fury word? Shitbag and shit house.
Shithouse, yeah. Shitbag and shit, yeah. Shithouse
rat. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you're a shithouse, which means that basically, like, you're just you're full of shit. Like, you're basically right. You're a house full of shit. You're a bullshit. You're a shithouse. So,
well, that's what he said about Usyk, and he just went off on him in this thing that I was watching. But you know, it's just a shame, bro. That's what's hurting boxing. Waiting out too long on, you know, you made a, because that's, I grew up in that era. You know, with the Hearns, yeah, and Hagler, guys, and Wilfred Benitez and Sugar Ray and the Mamba, and, you know,
Felix Trinidad
and Bobby, right, Chacon and all those guys, man.
Jose,
Ray Chavez. Mancini, remember, yeah, that? Chavez, Meldrick Taylor, Sweet P. Whitaker. Anyways, yeah, that
I
was.
I think I asked you this before, Conan. Did you ever read Four Kings?
No.
I'm going to send it to you, dude. It's a book about Leonard Hagler, Hearns, and Duran and the whole era. And it's just, you'll love it, dude. I'm going to send it to you.
So this is interesting.
Even when this was a problem, like pre-pay-per-view, eventually we still, even though it was harder, we still managed to get fights made. Bo, Holyfield, Tyson, and Lewis, even though by the time Lewis Tyson happened, it was way too late for Tyson, we still find ways to get it done. Manny Pacquiao, Mayweather got done way too late. The last 3 years, yeah, we're not getting the fights even made. Like,
and the worst part is after, and the worst part is after they made us wait all that time, the fucking match was boring as fuck.
Yeah, and people were so starved for super fights and big events that they actually took Mayweather and McGregor like it was a serious thing. You know, yeah, that's how bad people wanted something like a big event.
So, so this is interesting in tennis. So Carlos Alcaraz is back healthy, and he just destroyed Medvedev, who's the number one. This is very good for tennis because it seemed like Djokovic didn't have any competition. And now Alcaraz is back.
Djokovic number one. No, I think Djokovic was number one, but he did beat Medvedev in that Indian desert. Okay. Huh?
What? Yeah, Medvedev was number one at some, I think you mean he was number one at some point over the last.
No, right now. There was this tournament that just passed. It happened this
week. No, but Medvedev hasn't been number one for over a year, but he was number one.
That's what I'm saying. It's still Djokovic, yeah.
Right. So, and he got killed. So, what does this mean for tennis with Alcaraz back?
Well, he's 19 years old. He's got media training. He signed a camera. You know how they sign a camera? He signed a get well message to somebody. Like, he has all the media savvy of a Federer with the game of Nadal. So, and he's 19. So
bro, I was reading this the other day, Billy, that he's the fastest guy to get 100 victories since John McEnroe.
Right.
This is like in the 70s. But anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, what he's doing at 19 is unheard of. Now, obviously, like, it's way, way too early to look at these 22, 23 Grand Slams and all that lot. But he's already picked up one. And I think for the immediate future, what it's going to be is it could potentially stop Novak running away with this total. Because at the moment, he's level with Nadal. You would think that with Nadal's injuries, despite the fact Nadal is just a ridiculous force on clay, that Novak would be the narrow favorite going into the French. But now with Carlos Alcaraz playing the way he is, I think he could win the French and he could stop Novak there. I think Novak can pull ahead on grass, but then Alcaraz again to the US Open. He's already won that tournament. We don't even know if Novak is allowed to come into the country because your country is a snowflake country. So we don't know what the situation is with what tournaments Djokovic can and can't play. Meanwhile, he's trying to break records. Obviously, the goal will be for Novak Djokovic to retire with 30 Grand Slams, which is highly possible with the rest of the field because Dominic Thiem didn't make it as a prominent player in the top five who's winning slams. It looks like Zverev isn't going to be that guy. It looks like Medvedev doesn't have the stomach for it. So it was clear for Djokovic.
Real quick about Medvedev. I'm shocked that that guy's ranked that high.
You don't like him. I know you don't like him.
He always just looks very skinny and like he doesn't.
He has a
you know,
great serve, though.
Yeah, but he's like skinny. He doesn't come across like having a lot of mental strength. It's just like he's a very weird. When I watch him play, I'm like, how is this guy like number one? It's just like, you know, he doesn't look like he works out. It's just like, you know, he kind of crumbles to Djokovic's pressure whenever they put the mental pressure on him. Like,
I don't tall and kind of lanky.
Right. It's like,
you know. Glenn, I think you're baiting me because you said this to me once. And I took the time, I sent you a 4-minute voice note about why Medvedev was good. But I'll repeat the gist of it. So I don't know why. Yeah, when you break down his game individually, like there isn't anything spectacular there. But my son plays, but it's not a big 150 mile an hour serve. So my son plays tennis and the children are told to wait to watch the way Medvedev does a lot of things technically. So in terms of his footwork and the way that he follows through on the shots and the way that he plays his backhand and the way that he serves and everything, he looks like perfect and beautiful to tennis coaches. So everything Medvedev does is textbook. So in terms of building a tennis player technically, that would be Medvedev. The problem is that mentally, he's got nothing up there mentally. He's got no stomach for it as well. In finals, in big tournaments, he'll always get through the first four rounds. And then when he comes up against any adversity, you might as well bet against
him. And he lets the crowd get to him, too. He lets the crowd get to him. You know,
And the crowd feed off that. I mean, just like Conan says to me, don't show people that you're pissed off. Like, he does it, and they get more on his back. And they're doing it more because he's Russian, and Russia's like the enemy right now. So they're doing it even more. And since it's crazy, like it's a weird parallel, but I'm going to do it anyway. Since the war started, his career has gone down the toilet. Like he has dropped out of the top 10 at the same time the war started. So, I mean, with him being public enemy number one, with them telling you that he's public enemy number one by not letting him play at Wimbledon, where he was the favorite to win. The year Djokovic won, Medvedev would have been the betting favorite. Like, not that he would have won, but I'm just saying. When he plays, the Russian flag is blacked out. He's got a little black square next to it. Like, that is telling you, boo this guy. Like, he plays for, like, the black enemy. So it's like, it's got to him 100%. Like, I believe it's 100% got to him, yeah.
Yo, Conan and Joe, breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bare. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. The Grange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. And it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your beard and hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why the kit has shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. It's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can
get
that for his beard. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all the products at Manscaped. Boom.
Hey, so let's get into some soccer. There's four things here. I want to end with the Conte thing. So the Champions League had their draw. What do you think about these futures here? How's the futures market look for this?
Are you Arabic by any chance, Glenn?
No, why?
Because I sent you the format of the show and you read it backwards. That's what they do.
I want to end with the Conte thing. I want to finish with that.
About Arabic? You know about that? The Quran is read back to front and you read it all right to left because they don't believe in using your left hand. Like
really?
You're not supposed to touch the book with your left hand. Like and they read it backwards. Yeah.
What do they do to the kids that are born left-handed?
They got to learn with the right hand, right?
They did that for a long time in America, man.
So who should we bet on the Champions League?
Yeah, a crazy story broke like an hour ago. Bayern Munich, who are top of the Bundesliga and have been the best team in this tournament, sacked their manager, Nagelsmann, young manager that they got from RB Leipzig, flirted with him and scouted him for years and years and years, got him as their manager. It was the man they wanted. And they sacked him, and they now have Thomas Tuchel, who already won the Champions League before. He's also a German who used to manage Borussia Dortmund as well, which you don't usually go from you don't go from Barca to Real Madrid, you don't go from Liverpool to Man U, and you don't really go from Dortmund to Bayern Munich. So unless he left there on like bad terms or whatever, I don't know. But yeah, he's going to take that job. They obviously feel that he gives them the best chance of winning the Champions League because he's done it before. And he's also beating Manchester City before. When he took over as Chelsea manager, they beat Manchester City three times that season. So it's weird they've made a managerial appointment, which I think looks like it's been made with one game in mind. And now Nagelsmann's just not got a job. But ultimately, that's where we're at. So in terms of who wins, I don't know whether this gives Bayern or Manchester City a greater chance in the tournament. I believe the winner of that does win the competition. The crazy thing for me is I've never seen a draw where before it was done, the number one favourite was Man City, the number two favourite was Bayern, the number three was Real Madrid, and the number four was Chelsea. That is now one half of the draw. So an underdog is guaranteed to go through to the final. Napoli are the favourites to make it there. I'm not 100% that they will get there because Inter Milan have been really good at shutting them down in Italy this season. So I would be interested in looking at Inter's price to reach the final. But on the other side, I think the finalist comes from Man City or Bayern. And I think the winner comes from Man City and Bayern as well. I would lean that Bayern Munich get through because this will go down as being one of the stupidest decisions in the history of football if Bayern Munich are eliminated by Manchester City at this point. I just can't understand what the thinking is doing this at this point of the season.
Right. Anything? So what's going on with the international?
Bro, I saw that guy we were talking about, Haaland. He fucking hit another hat trick.
Yeah. Yeah. They always got some stories about him with the – so they have the international are they doing World Cup qualifiers yet? Or is this just international fixtures this week?
No, World Cup qualifiers won't start for 2 years.
So they have international fixtures this week, and nobody – like a lot of people aren't playing in these, right?
So these are to qualify for the European Championship because we have the Euros first. Remember the Euros that Italy won?
Yeah, and then they've stunk ever since.
Yeah, so this is what they're trying to re-qualify for now. So England beat Italy tonight in the qualifiers. So first of all, they go through to the Euros, and once the Euros are played – they'll start on qualification for the USA, which at the moment is like we want every fucking country in the world who has a television following to come and play here because the US are obviously trying to milk it for us and FIFA as well. Collectively, they're trying to milk it for as much TV revenue as they possibly can. They want this at every single ground. They want to give the right number of games to Canada. They want to give a decent number of games to Mexico. So, yeah, this is going to be an absolute cluster of a World Cup. It's going to be like 100 teams playing in this thing. So they haven't actually made an official decision on that yet. But anyway, first we have the Euros. And I'm not going to go into individual games here. There are some good games. Italy played England today. France played the Netherlands tomorrow, which is like the World Cup quarterfinalist against the World Cup finalist. But the one thing I would say to you guys is a lot of players don't want these games at this time of the year because ultimately you have to think the person that pays your wages is not your country, it's your club. And the loyalty for most players now at this day and age, maybe not back in the 90s or even the 2000s, but nowadays the loyalty lies with the clubs. So if you have a team, a country who have a lot of players from a Bayern Munich, a Manchester City, a Manchester United, teams that are going for a lot of trophies or teams that are very much in the mix for a league title or the Champions League, I would avoid that. One of the reasons I really like France tomorrow is because they have huge players, but these huge players have come back with a World Cup hangover. They've not been that good, French players overall. And when you're looking at their key players, for example, I'll name one, Kylian Mbappe. Kylian Mbappe's season is over. Paris are already going to win the league, but he's sitting out of the Champions League. The Champions League no longer has Kylian Mbappe in it. So why would you then not come out and put a 100% full effort in for your country? He will, as will a lot of France players. So I like France tomorrow. And I'll let you guys do your own homework in terms of having a look at what teams have, what players. If you want me to do the homework for you, lockbetting.com if you want to sign up and I'll do all the work for you. But
yeah, very comprehensive podcast there too with it's basically soccer for dummies. Like you don't have to if you want to be a fan of soccer, if you listen to Billy's podcast on these things, they're great. I mean, like it's good education. They're very educational and it's they're great podcasts. I love listening to your soccer podcasts. So Conan,
what up?
I've been training and right. I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every right. day. What a product! Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Yeah, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it. And sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great. And you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym. You know, it works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All three of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What was this Antonio Conte thing? I guess he was blaming the players for the loss of Southampton. Went on a rant here. Joe, you got that clip, right? It's pretty funny, Conan. This guy's like an Italian guy.
Yeah.
And he's like goes off. You can play about a minute or two of this. It's pretty funny.
La Bayonada.
Can hear that, right?
Yeah. All right. This is a Tottenham coach, by the way.
You are finding an alibi, another alibi. You try to find alibi and an excuse for the players. Okay, continue to do this, to find excuse for the players. You do only this, excuse for the players. Yeah, but the players maybe my future, and then they lost confidence, they lost spirit, they lost to be a team. Excuse. Try to protect every time, and this situation. Ah. Come on. We are professional. We paid, the club paid us a lot of money. The players receive money. We receive money. You understand? Not to be an excuse and don't have spirit or don't show the sense of belongings or don't show sense of responsibility, because we are showing this. And for me, this is unacceptable for me. Because this is the first time in my career to see a situation like this. And until now, I wasn't able to change. Not to change, but compare last season, the situation went to become worst.
All right.
Yeah. Give me what? Billy, what is everybody's... What is everybody's,
they are used here.
Joe. Billy, what is everybody's take on this?
It's mixed. So I've seen pundits. So there's two takes. So he attacked the club after that as well. He went on to say that, I don't know what's going on here. There must be a reason why Tottenham have won nothing for 20 years. He goes on to say that this is Tottenham Football Club. This is what they do. They don't know how to play under pressure. They don't know how to win. So he went on to ultimately attack the club. But what the end result was is that a lot of professionals said that he's to blame, and his style of football is terrible, and he's overpaid, and what he's trying to do here is get himself sacked. Now, if you get yourself sacked when you're a manager in the Premier League, the club pay out your contract. So he gets £15 million a year. He's actually in the last year of his contract. So if he gets sacked now, he gets sent home, and he gets £3 million for getting sacked. So that's why people believe that he won't be sacked. If he stays there, he gets $3 million anyway, but he has to come to work every week. And the option to replace him is just the assistant coach, which is Ryan Mason. And Tottenham haven't done well under Ryan Mason before. So they don't want to do that. They don't want to jeopardise going out of the Champions League positions, because Champions League guarantees you £60 to £100 million next year in revenue. So they're in a really bad situation. So the experts are saying this is a bullshit thing to do. There's no way that the players can play for him again because he's attacked the players and he's done this on purpose and he's trying to get sacked and it's a shit bad thing to do. I use the word that shit bad, shit house thing to do. The supporters of Tottenham, they absolutely love him for doing it. That's the general consensus. They say it's about time someone said it because they don't like their owners, but he actually didn't really attack the owners. He attacked the attitude of the club. He attacked the players. This whole thing, just to give you some context, if you guys listening are not following, Tottenham were 3-1 up against Southampton with about 10 minutes to go, and the game finished 3-3. So that's, and Southampton are bottom of the Premier League. So that's why he had this huge outburst, and this is why he was so angry. So he's putting it on the players. The supporters feel that it's about time somebody said this. They've supported him and want him to stay. The media are completely against him and said this is the wrong thing to do. So that's the divide. It's media versus supporters. From a neutral perspective, you know, when you're looking at all of us here, no Tottenham supporters, we just find it really entertaining to see somebody do this. I've seen a coach attack referees and things like that. I've never seen a coach go for his own players and say it's unacceptable.
Well, that's very taboo here in the United States too. In any sport, like if the coach is like blaming, if the coach comes out and blames the players, forget it. You've lost a team, you've lost the fans. I mean, Conor, would you agree with that?
Yeah, unless it's an undisciplined guy like Antonio Brown.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But if like you know, that's just something that like fans have always looked at like something you just don't do. You know. So, anything to conclude here, Billy?
No, unless I missed something out, but I think that's everything for the week.
All right, cool. Let's wrap it up.
Well, one thing, and I can push this back to the wrestling segment, is, and I don't know if you want to talk about it, I'm just checking. Disco said, Billy, you might talk about that punk Instagram thing?
No, he says he's going to talk about it on the Dirty Sheets.
I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Cool. He said you did it as well. That's why I didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. We already talked about it. So you're going to talk about it on the Dirty Sheets. So plug your stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so all my sports betting stuff is over at lockbetting.com. The Twitter for that is at lockbetting.com. The pin tweet is always the P&L. Over at lockbetting.com, there are spreadsheets for the 117 months in a row that we've made a profit. Trying to scrape a profit this month as well. Hopefully we'll get there. But yeah, this is a service that's made a profit every single month. And off the back of what I said last week, I did create an additional Patreon. I'm not expecting a load of people to go on there. But what I've done is I have created a Patreon called K100 Sports. And what I'll do over there is if you sign up for the same, you'll get exactly the same stuff as Lock Betting. But what I'm going to do is in my write-ups, I'm going to add sentences explaining to you what something means. So if you don't know what an Asian handicap line is, if you don't know what an over-under is, if you don't know like any kind of terminology, if you've never placed a bet before, and you decide, geez, I do watch sports and I do want to make some money. And we're getting legalized across all the states in the US now, because before, you know, when I started doing this 10 years ago, a lot of my clients were illegally gambling, my US clients, which is obviously not the case anymore. So it is more wide open. And if you want to get involved and you're brand new, if you're not brand new, just go to lockbetting.com. If you DM me on Twitter, I'll give you a Gumroad link as well, where you can get long-term packages, 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months to make it much cheaper for you. For example, you can get a whole year for $500 off if you want to do an entire year. But if you're just starting out, go to that K100 Sports Patreon, because I'm going to write things on there in a way that you will understand. And as I said, even if you don't even understand it through there, anybody that signs up for these packages gets my personal, like what's my personal WhatsApp, and 24 hours a day, I'm asking questions. Like this guy will tell you, I'm up all the time. I only sleep for about 5 hours a night. I have to follow shit till about 3 a.m. and I have to get up and have my dog. My dog comes at 8 o'clock in the morning. Austin's dog comes at 8 o'clock in the morning, and my son's an idiot. He always forgets his school tie here, his school blazer.
You're burying your son. Fans in the US don't like it when you bury your son.
Yeah, so like he's always like waking me up for something. So yeah, I'm up. So for about 5 hours a day, you might not get hold of me. For 18, 19 hours a day, you got a question about sports betting, I'll answer it for you on WhatsApp. So that's lockbetting.com and the Twitter account at lockbetting.com and the Patreon K100 Sports. My wrestling Patreon is thedirtysheets.com. There is a Q&A that I'm doing this week. I don't do Q&As, but when I set that up, I was of the belief that questions and emails for me were not getting through to the show. So so if you do want to ask me questions directly, then go to my Patreon, thedirtsheets.com. It's also where I'm breaking all the news first. There was an interesting story. Me and Disco and Mark Mannon went back and forth on it this week about Charlotte's high heels. I actually should have said that on the segment because I wanted to hear what Conan had to say. I'll talk about it off the air. But yeah, if you want to read that story, it's on thedirtysheets.com. And you can also, as soon as you sign up.
I think we talked about it.
All right. Yeah. As soon as you sign up, you're allowed to ask a question in the Q&A. So it's $5 a month, $1.25 a week. And to hear me just talk about wrestling for free in general, I host the Dirty Sheets podcast, and that is released every Friday. That's the show I do with Cav. It's pretty much like the old Wrestling Informer that we used to do on here. So that is now just the Dirty Sheets podcast.
Cool. All right. Close it out, Conan.
All right. And that's been another episode of K100 Sports from London Town. Boom.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.